So I hope you've had a chance to get to know some of your neighbors. One of the ideas we've had for the class is so often classroom work is so separate from the real world and the community around us. So a class of 15 university students has been meeting every week, along with 15 people from the wider community, including local young farmer who you'll hear from tomorrow. And I just wanted to acknowledge the Cohen family who've so graciously provided all the lovely decorations that you see around you. So thank you to you. So as with any vision, it comes with a sense of what a spirit, it comes with a spirit. And when our keynote speaker was first recommended to open our event, I, along with my mom and my sister, went on a journey to check this person out. Not that I didn't trust the recommendation, but I know you're, I must admit I was nervous. We want someone who carries the spirit well. And so we went to Fort McMurray, and this person who I thought, were you camping like right next to us or something? And within 10 seconds of meeting Sylvia, my fears and nervousness were gone. And a more humble, lovely, gentle, beautiful person. Well, you're all beautiful. But I was immediately put to rest in the sense of, yes, we found someone.
As many of you know, Sylvia is one of the co-founders of the I Don't Know More movement. A movement which this month celebrates its first birthday. To me, I Don't Know More is a vision whose movement encompasses all. It announces our interdependence, that we are all here together. Like it or not. As Sylvia says, we defend for all. In this way, I Don't Know More to me is a living being that lifts up, honors the small acts of ordinary people, of caring, kindness, compassion. To me, I Don't Know More is a vision of a kinder future that seeks the unique participation of all. Last weekend, when I met Sylvia, she shared with me the meaning of her Nihil name, family name, Seisiliam. And it means, when this one walks, the earth vibrates. And indeed, in the small amount of time that I have known Sylvia, this is most certainly true.
So, in her contemplation of the place, Sylvia writes, when the Hudson Bay came and gave blankets, the disease almost wiped my people out. So they are buried in the lands, along with children who tried to escape residential school. I now defend those lands. The history is written on the lands of my people. Many people call Sylvia McAdam an activist, but she sees herself as a defender. defender of the spirit and intention of the treaties, a defender of Indigenous self-determination, and a defender of the land upon which we all walk and the water which runs through our rivers and bodies. She is a citizen of the Nehiyo Nation. She is a direct descendant of treaty makers. Indeed, her great-great-grandfather is named on Treaty 6. This is why she feels very comfortable walking these lands, and why it is most appropriate that she opens.
Thank you for that. Kina nasu no mina nanasu no simantu no mino kani o tsugi suo mina kika mino aski takio mina kika tosa no mina kite ho kapitsina tai mina yung mina nanasu no. I want to thank the Creator and pour your actions on our Mother Earth, and I want to thank each one of you for being here. I shake hands with every one of you. I also thank the Elder for his prayers. What I'm going to share here tonight, I'm going to sound like an auctioneer, so forgive me. I'm going to do my best to share as much information in the little time that we have. My people believe it's not a coincidence that you are here to hear this information. You are meant to hear it and take it with you wherever you go in your journey. What I share tonight, I share not because I want you to pity my people. Pity is against our laws. You cannot pity a human being. The only time you ask for pity is when you're going on your journey to the spirit world. The information I share here, I share it because you have a right to know. The erasure of Indigenous people's history is one of the primary reasons why Isle of Moore began. I will share with you how Isle of Moore started for me. I can't speak for the other ladies. They have their unique journey, how we came into Isle of Moore. Okay, so I went out into the land. I'm a lawyer. It's very telling that when lawyers come out to make a stand, right? You don't bite the hand that feeds you, that sort of thing. I'm also a mother. That's another thing that's telling in this government when mothers are coming out to make a stand. I have 7 children. I'm not young. People say I look young, but I'm not young. My mother wouldn't like it if I was young and having children. That was a cabin that I found out in my people's lands. I'll come back to that, so keep that image in your minds. I want to go through some significant timelines. From the 1500s to the 1800s, my people lived in structured and vibrant societies. People think that my people are lawless people, that we have no laws. I am here to tell you that is not accurate. We have very profound and sacred laws. If you review some of the history books, you can find some of these laws in there. One of the laws that I'll talk about here very quickly is called Otsiniwin. Otsiniwin is our law on how we interact with the environment and the land. Otsiniwin means we cannot torture the animals, we cannot overharvest the land, we cannot pollute the environment. Otsiniwin means the breaking of a verbal law on anything other than a human being. So when our hunters, when the women go to hunt, there is a ceremony. When Whenever we dig from the land, there's a ceremony, and there are songs that are invoked of calling out songs. If there's a certain medicine that we go to seek out, there are songs that have to be sung in order for that plant to reveal itself. Those songs still exist. We're very fortunate that they still exist. And you'll see in my PowerPoint how it comes. The women during this time are called Itzitawsor. They're the law keepers of my nation. Very profound women, very knowledgeable in the land. One of the criteria to become a Itzitawsor is to know the name of every plant in the land of your people and the use of that plant and the song of that plant. I know no woman that carries that knowledge today, and I say that not to offend anyone. But there's a lot of women that still carry that, some of that knowledge. And these women are the law keepers. They reside with the laws of my nation. I don't have a word in English for Okitsutau, but the closest ones are warrior women, clan mothers. Combine these two terms in your language. That's the description for these women. At the time when the Europeans came to our lands, these women resided and had jurisdiction and authority over land. This is how come we say we never ceded and surrendered our lands and our resources, because we never gave the jurisdiction and authority over to our men to make that decision. Our sacred sites are all over our lands. Our history is written in our lands, the pictographs. Our calendar is on the back of the turtle. There are sacred markings, they're called. There are markings that we speak with the star people. There are directional markings that are found all over the lands, and they have a history. And it's that history that we are defending for. Our history is not written in books, as your people have been gifted. Our history is written in our lands. From 1810 to 1876, there begins to be rumblings of animosity and aggression with the Indian military policy. It was developed in 1810, and it was located in a department of the military on how to deal with Indians, and it progressively got worse. In 1878 and 1867, you see the British North America Act and the Indian Act. Then you begin to see the mindset of the colonizer as they begin to take over the land. The British North America Act stated lands reserved for Indians come under the care of the federal government. The government instantly became wealthy. The indigenous people instantly became poor. Do you know how empowering it is for me as an indigenous person to come to that realization that the poverty of my people is not our fault? When you dispossess a people, they instantly become dependent. Something has been stolen from my people. And it's a myth and a lie that this government is functioning on, that we ceded and surrendered our lands and our waters. It's not true. We didn't cede and surrender. And I'll show you how come. In Treaty 6, and this is where my great-great-grandfather took treaty, in that treaty book, if you examine it, and I'm a researcher, it says there, a family of five, 1 square mile. And if you see the surveying method at the time, and you look at the history of the Métis script and European settlers in that era, all of us were supposed to move together in prosperity. Every family was supposed to get 1 square mile. I was, even today, because I have a family of five, more or less, I am supposed to get a 1 square mile. That's part of the treaty term and promise. And with that 1 square mile is supposed to come the treaty term and promise of agricultural assistance. And